Talk to me.
And it's about time, you know, because people might say Jamaica, Trinidad, and so on. But people must understand Barbados' position. Barbados always take a leading role in trying to unify and bring together the Caribbean. And we must never stop this. We must never stop this. No, we must never stop this. Because it's years it be happening. It's some days we will realize one way or another that we have to really defend. We got to forget about the Jamaicans and the Trinidadians and things, and let us look as a people in this region to bring us. I got friends in
but
Trinidad.
This has been quite I want to tell you that this has been quite a shot across the bow in relation to the CCJ. Because here is Barbados, a country that previously was in the vanguard, in the forefront of encouraging. Now the same Barbados comes and takes a completely different position. This is similar to what happened in the United States under Obama. One approach is taken on an issue. Under Trump, the complete opposite is taken. And what it does is that it raises questions about continuity. You know, to what extent can you truly follow these Caribbean countries when they come telling you, do this and do that? They go to heads of government meetings. If you go to heads of government meetings and you talking about the Treaty of Chagaramas and we must do this and we must... How on earth can you go out and try to dismantle one of the central pillars of the new movement towards a Caribbean unity? I don't understand it.
Just because you think that the court is unfair to you. We had Shannon Myrie case. We made mistakes in that case. And we know that as a country. But we cannot pull down this here because of a political ideology of a particular person. Because listen, the parties in Barbados up to sometimes have been continuous as far as Caribbean unity is concerned. So this is one out of the left field. This is one out of the left field. And you got people that talking about education and that we think the purpose is more than anything else. That we should stay where we are and help build on it so that the West can see the importance of the CCJ in the Caribbean.
All right, sir. That's your view. But of course, there is no one view on these things. And surely we're here to entertain any other perspectives that may exist out there. Down to brass tacks. You on the air?
Three little points.
Yeah.
The first one is pertaining to the manifesto. What's the purpose of a manifesto, David?
You tell me. You've been involved in political
I believe the manifesto to encourage you or to indicate to you or show you how you should vote. Now,
do people really take them as seriously as all that?
I don't, but I only dealing with the facts that are being said by politicians, because I am concerned that here it is: the policeman voted Thursday. I can assure that it is not important. The policeman voted Thursday. I know the Democratic Labour Party delivered their manifesto Thursday night, so that means they did not vote pertaining to the manifesto, right or wrong.
Yeah, it would mean that would not have featured in their thoughts.
And their voting pattern. Mm-hmm. Now, the other one now is I want to deal with the CCJ. As far as I'm concerned, over the years, I hear that hearsay is not admissible in court. Right or wrong?
That's what we've heard, yes.
But yet you hear the Prime Minister telling you that a lady overheard some judge or something speaking ill about Barbados, and we must accept that. Where's the evidence about this lady, where it was said, and I would say today that is not acceptable in this country from a prime minister, because that's one judge, and there are other judges, that is not acceptable. And the last one that I want to deal with pertaining to the CCJ. Now, it is strange, David, that we could find at this point in time people, and I heard you mention just which you are accurate and correct, and if they were unable to...
All I have said on that is if the criticism is about the decisions, then you have to review the representation that you have in determining, you know, the way forward. But to me, it really, I don't know to what extent this has majority backing in Barbados. It's difficult for me to say. It clearly resonates with the rank and file of the ruling Democratic Labour Party.
But how much further does it go?
I don't know.
There were two lawyers that went to the CCJ.
More than
and that. I could recall this case. And Dennis Byron told them they should never bring this case when it's not properly prepared. And I won't call the name, but there were two lawyers that went down to the CCJ. And so Dennis Byron told them they came with a case that was not properly prepared and they should have known better. And that were two Barbadian lawyers. So I don't understand how we could be out there blaming. And you know for yourself that there's certain lawyers in Barbados that make judges have to stand up and go do research and come back because they are more advanced in their law than the very judges. So I don't submit the argument. I cannot see it. It is just a red herring put across the line. And thank God that it can't.
Honestly, this talk, you know, we've already laid the ground rules as to how we engage on this type of subject. Hello? Down to brass tacks. This person says that one of the major mistakes made with the CCJ was that people didn't take its establishment seriously after its head office was set up in Trinidad, a country that up until the present time has not signed on to the CCJ. Barbados knew, as I recalled it, we knew very early that we had a challenge with respect to some countries saying that they were not going to be part of the CCJ. In recent times, I think I've heard at least two other Caribbean countries say that they have every intention of joining. Grenada has said so, I believe, and I think St. Vincent or St. Lucia might have said the same thing. It would take time. It would take time, but we have to keep foremost in our minds what is the ultimate objective here. The ultimate objective is to create an institution of our own that is responsive to our own needs and our own concerns within the Caribbean. And to show that sense of pride and independence of thought. You know, how on the one hand can we talk about becoming a republic on the other, on one hand, and then on the other, you take a position against regional institutions or any one regional institution that seems not to have been based on the strongest of arguments. You can't tell me that because somebody overheard a conversation of somebody bad talking. Let me tell you something. I've been around traveling this region and interacting with people in the Caribbean since the 70s. And sometimes the things that I have heard people say about Bajans have been some of the toughest things to have to put up with. But that doesn't mean I can't interact with them. Sometimes you listen to it and you say, boy, how much truth is there in this? One of the big things I ever heard them say about Bajans, they say you can know a Bajan for years. Work with the Bajan. You know that person will never invite you to their house. Barbadians have this thing about their home. And you know when I study it, we don't only treat people who are non-Bajan like that, you know. We treat our own Bajan friends in the same way. So, I mean, you can go through this long list of things that they have got to say about Bajans, say how we're full of pride, you know, we put down everybody else's things, you know, drag them down. The only thing that is of relevance is that which belongs to us. And all of that you go through, but you grin and bear it, and you learn too from the criticism, because sometimes when you really put it under scrutiny, our culture has created a particular way of doing things. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello? You're on the air. Hello?
Hello, David?
Yes, sir.
How are you doing?
Hi. I'm fine, and you?
I'm not too bad. You're talking to me, right?
Yeah.
Good. Look, you accused a fella earlier for hogging the show.
Yeah.
Right? Don't be guilty of the same thing, huh?
Well, you better hurry up. Otherwise, no, I get rid of you so fast.
I know.
Because, you know, you spend so much time focused on the wrong things when you call these programs that, you know, you reach a point where you can only take so much of it from you, you know.
I agree, but
Let's hurry up and get on with what you want.
So you can put down your phone.
No, I ain't putting down the phone. I just asking you
to
speed up the process.
I got two points to make, but before I do that, I want to ask you a personal question.
No, it depends upon what it is.
Would you be voting Thursday?
Very bright and very early.
Good. Damn,
As long as God gives me breath and strength, I intend to be at the polling station very early.
Good, fine. All right. Don't spoil the vote, though. David, you hear the story already, right? With the boy that they're playing cricket in the privileged position that he could afford the ball in the back and the stumps, right? And then the umpire gave out. You remember how that story went?
You took up the bat.
He didn't make very much runs. He met two also. And he get stumped or he get plumped LBW. And you understand how that went, right?
You took up the bat and ball?
He took up his ball, put it in his pocket, and gone along home.
I know politicians
who... done the show.
I have seen politicians around here who do that.
I am saying, listening to the Prime Minister yesterday, right? On the CCJ, I think this is the direct carbon copy of the boy with the bat and the stumps. You understand?
You need to expand on that. Expand on that.
No, the ruling went your way. The ruling went Barbados.
But the Prime Minister said that it had nothing to do with rulings. That's what he said.
That's what the Prime Minister said. I mean, nothing that Barbados got to the CCJ, right? Barbados was able to come out with a verdict in its favor, right? You was the first person, David Ellis, was the first person to carry a case. The CCJ heard the first case from you. You remember that?
Yeah. VOB. Yes.
The very first case, VOB.
That's correct.
That went against you. All right? And, okay, so I am saying, judging from that, this Chirik Mairi, the Democratic Party has not got over the Chirik Mairi yet. They ain't get over that yet. And David, you know that?
I don't know. I don't know because a lot has happened between Shanique Myrie and now. And I just read for you comments which were made by the Prime Minister of Barbados in February of this year. So I would not buy into your notion that Barbados has been smarting under this Shanique Myrie case all along. Something else has happened in between then and now. To create that kind of outburst that we heard the other evening. But we have to get past the general election campaign before we can be more conclusive as to exactly where we are going in this regard. This is Down to Brass Tacks. This is Down to Brass Tacks going until 1:30. The amount of time that we have spent talking about this CCJ matador is surprising in light of the fact that we're going to the polls on Thursday. And I don't know that this CCJ matter is among the top priorities for our consideration as we go to the polls. To a large extent, that is further down the ladder when you look at things like the economy and how we propose to fix it, the proposals which have been advanced by the various parties for dealing with the economic challenges. What you see as the social aspect of things, and to what extent have you heard anything on this campaign trail that in your judgment makes a difference? I would think that these are the things that stand out more than the idea of whether Barbados is going to stay with the CCJ or not. That ultimately will be determined by how you vote on the other issues come Thursday morning and throughout the day. Welcome to the program. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Mr. Ellis, a blessed day to you, sir.
Yes, sir. How are you?
Oh, I am blessed, thanks.
And this is another example of a pro-democratic Labour Party caller who gets and has been getting the light of day on this program for quite some time. Would you Are you among those who feel that you get disadvantaged?
I want to say to you that I am completely satisfied. I'm happy with the treatment that I get from this radio station when I call. I am treated with respect and with courtesy.
And you and you treat us with respect and courtesy as well.
I thank you very much. Because, Mr. Ellis, I believe that the saying goes that no man is an island. And there is only one perfect being that have ever walked the face of this earth, that's Jesus. And you know that even Jesus was heavily criticized to the point where they even crucified him. Therefore, we can expect the same thing to happen to us by other person because they don't share your view. This is normal. What I am concerned about with the behavior of people, the violent attitude to the point where they start to use abusive language to you, when I say to you, to us,
mm-hmm.
only because you don't share your view, I'll say this to you, that is the behavior of a coward who do things like that because they are afraid of being exposed and they hit out that way to try to silence you. It is a weakness. They are weak and they are cowards who do this. See? And I'll tell you, because they are unable to stand up and to discuss what they are talking about, but why they do this?
But you don't experience that on Brass Tacks. You experience that.
Well, not where you see.
Where you lying.
But you see, I'm making this point according to those who are calling and criticizing you. You see, because they are unable.
But you know that they have been put to that by some of the utterances that have come from some of the people on the political platform. You are aware of that.
Well, nobody put me up.
Well, no, but you didn't call to cuss. But the degree to which some of the people on the political platform have been taking time out to say how bad we are, how difficult we are. These are people who, some of them, have actually sought to use the program to do whatever they want to do to influence people and stuff like that. But, of course, there are times when they may even set up people to call the program, and when they can't get their way, then you're a bad boy because, you know, you have not. I'm wise to a lot of the ways of these people, you know, politicians and their supporters. So, you know, sometimes if you don't get your way, you got to cuss. Beat up on somebody, make them. I tell you to watch it, go home and cry. Stay in your bed. Don't come back out. And a lot of these people, let me tell you something. These people are Johnny come latelys, effectively, huh? These people just turn up on the political scene. We've been around, I mean, my partner here, Dennis and I, we've been around this thing for quite a long time. I mean, I remember as a young journalist and stuff, going to political meetings.
Hello.
And hearing some of the esteemed and most revered journalists around being castigated just because the politician of the day could not have their way with how they were supposed to be writing, or they didn't see eye to eye or something like that. So that is, if you believe that you can do this kind of job and do not find yourself at some point coming under that kind of scrutiny, you're dead wrong. And it is nothing to be afraid about. But I just put it in context. If you have people out there who are going on the political platform and they are taking that kind of line, they are taking that line for a reason. And the difficulty is that when you meet them face to face, you are still able to have a conversation with them and stuff, and you can even have a drink or something to eat. But the supporter down the road does not appreciate that. because the guy is saying, well, this is politics. So you can put some licks in here tonight. So tomorrow when we meet up someplace, that guy who is coming to cuss here, I'll see you on the street and start to be abusive and that sort of thing. He does not know that you and that guy still sit down and have a drink that's together.
Right. That's right. And you see, this is what I that's why I say I'm concerned, because in those of us away who support parties have to understand that there are no better friends than the same politicians.
And the people and sometimes the people that they criticize too.
Yes.
But the truth of the matter, the people want to, you got to be very careful in this kind of environment to have people force you to take a partisan stance as opposed to a professional stance. Okay? And that's where, so that's why you and I can sit down here and talk as we do and as we have done for years, because you're one of the callers who used to defend Mr. Sandiford when the people were marching in 1991. I remember your voice distinctly. All right? You have always, as long as I have known you, been a supporter of the Democratic Labour Party. But you have been able to conduct yourself in a manner where all of us who sit down here as moderators can respect your point of view, even if we may differ from you from time to time.
And you will notice that I'm never aggressive with my conversation with you all.
Well, that's however, your personality. Let me hear you now on this election campaign and where we're going right now.
I want to mention something here that I've made to understand, I heard, I am concerned about. That is, any time, Mr. Ellis, that you are irresponsible for you, you have a responsible position, and you have taken a decision that you believe in according to your work, and you take a stand. And then someone would then ask you to apologize for the stand that you have taken, then I want to say a person who would do something like that would be asking you to have a dead conscience or a sleeping conscience. They would be asking you to deny your very self. And I find that to be really a sad situation. And I'm saying that based on, I've been made to understand, or I heard, that someone wrote Mr. Arthur asking him to apologize for what he, for defending himself when he was called upon to represent the government that he stood and he sat to be and was responsible for.
Listen, don't get confused with that. Here, that is not a simple. Let me just caution you.
No, but I am not.
Let me tell you. If the allegation is made that you have made a comment that is allegedly defamatory of someone, part of the process is that a lawyer will write you what they call, I think, a pre-action protocol letter. That letter demands an apology, but that apology in no way takes from that person the right to take the matter further by taking the matter to court, seeking damages, okay? So don't, I suspect that what you're hearing about apology may well be wrapped up in the comments which were made by Roger Ford QC when he was speaking at the news conference, where he said that in their judgment, comments which were made were allegedly defamatory. So that isn't just somebody, so it is not exactly the way that you're portraying it. That's a legal maneuver that we are talking about, as distinct from somebody coming to you and just saying, "I apologize to me, nah." if you apologize to me, you know, we will let it slide and stuff. It's not, they're not one and the same.
Now, I believe that if you are responsible and in a serious position where you have the responsibility for your country on your back, when I say on your back, you're taking, that you have the responsibility for the nation. It is not a position that where you would be just careless and open up and say, to me, it don't make sense that any person
you don't
who
think
is
I'm
intelligent
a,
would do
you
something.
Don't, you believe,
to me, it don't make sense.
You believe that everybody in a responsible position will, on every occasion, say the right thing in the right way and will always be correct?
A person who...
Can a person make mistakes?
A person who are rational understands the law and what responsibility and duty is.
Can a person make mistakes?
People can make mistakes.
Precisely.
Yes.
And but you have to go on the basis of the facts. You can't have a situation where a person makes an allegation, somebody else comes and counters the allegation with fact, and then you sit down and say, oh, but I still believe the first person because they would not necessarily step out and make this mistake. And so that can only be determined by whether they have facts to back it up. Now, the person may withhold those facts until the matter goes further. In those circumstances, you hold your judgment until this thing comes to a conclusion. But don't operate from the premise that because a man happens to occupy a particular position and over the years has acted responsibly, that it naturally follows that that person cannot make an error on one occasion or the other.
Anyway, I'm not going to pursue that anymore, but I just think that my view is that I find it to be that a person with the intelligence and there is a man who's taken the kind of responsibility that he's taken over the year, Mr. Arthur Wood.
But you know, the kind of talk that you're all putting down here, you just would not believe that he's lost two elections too. You know, behavior, there's no perfection about anybody. Me, you, him, nor the current prime minister, nor the leader of the opposition, they're no perfection. I mean, at the end of the day, we are only human beings. And there are times when we can make an error. No, I'm not. I'm saying on the basis of what has been put out there, it is quite possible that there may be additional information, but I am waiting for that additional information, and if it doesn't come forward then within a reasonable period or when the process is completed, it doesn't come forward, then I come to a final conclusion. I have an interim conclusion right now, but a final conclusion is yet to come. Just let me tell you that these people at the Crab Hill Testament Church of God, they had a fish fry movie night for tonight, but there's been a lot of rain in the north. It was supposed to take place at North Star Sports Club at 5:30 in the afternoon. It has had to be postponed because of the bad weather, and naturally, they're going to come back to you with a new date. This is Down to Brass Tacks.